Mic right here. What we're going to do is we're just going to talk into this. You don't have to get up close on it. It picks up pretty good.
All right. All right. So let me make sure everything's good here.
A dollar? I don't have any dollars. I've got
20. All right, y'all. This is DJ Dead Eye coming to you live from UOradio.com at the Austin Town Hall meeting. 10th anniversary Town Hall meeting. We've got an interview with a very interesting looking fellow coming up pretty quick, so stand by.
Did you think you would have been a little closer to him?
I don't bite.
Oh,
sorry. PVP, but I don't bite.
Fair enough.
All right, so are we on air now?
Yes, you are on the air, big boy.
All right, so let me go ahead and just basically give everybody an introduction here. This is DJ Viceroy with UO Radio. And we have with us here Patrick Malott. Yep. Is that how you say it?
That's correct.
All right. And we have with us LaRoche, and that's what he's better known as. He is a developer with Ultimo Line, a designer. Is that lead designer or designer?
Yeah, either sounds fine.
Yeah,
how
all right.
That?
So we're going to go ahead and we also have here with us Angelica of Blake Austin, who is a news reporter and a moderator for Stratix, and we're going to kind of double-team this today. And so she's going to be presenting some questions, and I'm going to be presenting some questions. If I remember correctly, you already got some questions from them and stuff like that. So I'm going to kind of start off because I know this was brought up in the town hall meeting and stuff like that about resources, the resources changes. Can you tell us what the reason behind that was for the resource changes, again, maybe for the people that made
sure, absolutely. I can't tell you all of them because I'm not the one that made the changes specifically, but one of the reasons is if we introduce new things possibly for crafting in the future, that may help, because one of the reasons, as Draconi said earlier, was an economic reason. You know, we want to make sure certain balances and checkpoints are in place, so when we do future things, we'll be in a position where we can do that.
All right.
Without causing too much havoc, you know, to the players.
Right.
That's really about all I can say on it personally, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, my only thing is, and you know, I didn't voice this opinion or whatever during
sure.
the town hall because I want to give everybody else a chance to ask their question.
Absolutely.
But I was wondering if that could be exploited by scriptures and stuff, and, you know, to where, because the way it is right now, scriptures move around from spot to spot.
That's right.
You know, and I'm wondering if this is a tactic or a strategy to combat that, and if so, would this enable scripters to stay in one spot possibly, or I mean, is that not to stop them from doing that? Or?
The intent of the change had nothing to do with trying to stop scripters.
Okay.
You know, if it was at all, it would have been more of an indirect reason for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the direct reason. The bottom line is we're going to have to do other things to combat scripters as a whole, not a change like that.
Okay. Did you have any questions that you asked earlier that you might want to ask again?
The main thing that I've been getting asked by people concerning the whole scripting thing is part of KR coming out to some of the scripts that are inside of the game itself, the expansion, upgrade, whatever you want to call it,
yep.
is part of that actually going to help stop some of the scripting because they can't do it as easily because it's a new product.
Uh-huh.
Because Talkbuster kind of got stuck under the table or isn't even being brought up anymore. So is that part of what KR is going to assist in doing?
If it does, again, it'll probably be indirectly. The primary motivation for making KR wasn't to stop scripters, though scripters should always be a top priority that we try to, you know, address. But we're going to have to address that on the 2D side as well as the KR side holistically rather than just relying on a new client to do it for a while because people are not familiar with it.
Thank you. Another question I have for you is, do you think we will ever see consistency between items? For example, like in the old days and everything, when I crafted two iron katanas, I made them GM quality, and that was like the best type of armor you could craft.
Right.
Now, are we ever going to get to a point where if I craft two iron katanas that they're going to share the same properties and not have variable properties?
I'm not sure about that, but one of the skills that I can't really talk about right now that I'm working on may allow for more control on item properties, what you can put on an item.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's the main thing that I've been working on right now.
Okay. And I wanted to kind of get this question in there while I still have it on my mind and everything, because I'm still trying to develop some more questions here for you.
No problem.
I was kind of unprepared for this. But I have a question about whether or not if there's any... What would you say was one of your most memorable moments for Ultimate Online?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of those moments was when I was playing my assassin character.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually learning how to stealth. You know, stealth just came out around then. And I was training that up. And he had poisoning, you know, a GM and all this stuff. And I liked using him as more of a PK-type character. I actually stealthed up to somebody's house as they opened the door, because back then, you know, you had very limited control over who you could put in your house, you know, kick out of your house and all that.
Right.
And I was invisible. I got in his house, and then I typed the emote called Grins, you know, and then, of course, I revealed myself by doing that. And I started attacking him with my deadly poison katana, and I remember his words saying, "Can't beat poison," and he died like just a little bit after the doorstep. Little did I know, though, the problem was he had like four of his friends who were doing corp poor, and I got completely owned. But I tell you, I couldn't quit laughing, and it was that was my most memorable moment, I think.
I know you're a busy guy in here today, working on Ultima Online. I mean, I would imagine that comes with any designer out there.
Absolutely.
Can you give us an idea as to what your day-to-day life as a designer for Ultima Online is like?
Sure. It doesn't stop after I leave from work, however, but, you know, we get in the morning, and we check a lot of our email in case there's any, like, really hot-button, oh-my-God type things we have to address, you know, exploits, whatever. I'm sheltered from a lot of that because I'm more on the design side rather than like a programmer, that sort of thing. But we do a lot of programming on the team as well as designers. So once we get through all of that, we have meetings, obviously, where we talk about hot button things that the players have been, you know, concerned about, whatever, or would like to see. We do spend a lot of our time also assessing various fan sites and stuff like that. A lot of that's also on our own time, you know, like where we correspond with players and that. But a majority of the day, we're actually doing our design work. And that could
be... Which is a lot of coding, right?
Yeah, it could be anywhere from writing design documents, prototyping stuff. It could also be scripting. You know, us designers, we do a lot more scripting rather than programming. Some of you may not know the difference, but if you've ever used, like, the Neverwinter Nights tool set as an example, there's a lot of scripting there where you can make dungeons and you can script AI behaviors and all that stuff. And that's a lot of the kind of work that Tim and I do. And it's a lot of fun, but it's really hard. Sometimes toward the end of an expansion, we do crunch a little bit, you know. The end result is, and I remember when I did the whole Paragon thing, when we would go into the world invisibly and actually see people really enjoying what you created, that makes it all worth it.
Did you have a question that you want to ask LaRoche?
Well, you're sitting here and you've been working with UOEA for how long now?
2 years now.
Is that after you came back, or?
Yeah, total of 2 years. Yeah, I was with the product for a year, and then I left back to the Shire in Indiana for personal reasons, family reasons that, you know, didn't work out for my wife and I. We were actually considering adoption at the time,
uh-huh.
And we were
going to
do that in Indiana.
Oh,
that's very cool, and that is something we may still do in the future, but. You know, not to get too personal, but point is, I came back. I love UO. I love working on it. I love you guys, and here I am. And so, yeah, total of 2 years.
With all the hours that you put in every day on UO, do you still find yourself wanting to go home and still log in and go play? Not play to find the bugs or to find the issues or things that need to be fixed, but just go to play, whether it go
do
fearless,
you know, or relax.
Yes.
Go kill people or whatever your play style is.
Absolutely, yes, to answer your question.
Fun and entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if it wasn't, I wouldn't have came back to California twice where it's crazy expensive, to be honest.
Well,
let me ask you this. Would you sometimes, I'm not sure if you was on the development team whenever EA had an office down here in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know they have one here now, to my understanding. But would you sometimes wish you were still in Austin in terms of cost of living as opposed to California?
Well, it's funny that you mention that because I was never a part of the team during the Austin days, you know, when Origin Systems was still here. But I can tell you personally, after vacationing here for a week and going to the Austin Game Developers Conference, my wife's here with me for the week, so that's a nice treat. And she loves it here. And
she's a very nice lady, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And I absolutely love it here. And, you know, if our producers are listening to this, I would love to live out here and eventually work here. Now, regardless, we're happy. You know, we enjoy California. We enjoy working there. You know, we enjoy the team there. The EA campus is the absolute best. Oh, my gosh, it's epic. But to answer your question, yeah, we would certainly be open to wanting to live here and be closer to you guys. And,
right.
You know, you never know. Thanks. You never
Austin
know.
Austin is the place where it all started.
Right? That's right. That's right. And Mr. Garrett was here, which is quite a treat. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, hopefully we can get him over here for an interview if he hasn't left already.
He may have slipped out. I don't know.
He might have slipped out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But so what do you find as the most enjoyable part of your job? Because some people would say you are just crazy to want to work a job day in and day out just doing coding and design documents and stuff like that. What is the favorite part of that job for you?
Directly interacting with the players on a focused, specific design that I know that I don't know what's best for every game system in UO. UO is so amazing as far as all the different systems, all the different play styles. And the recent PvP focus test that I led and fixes, you know, with Wilkie and I enjoyed that tremendously. And I know he did too because, again, when we work with you guys, because nobody knows better than you guys, even though we play hardcore as well, but the bottom line is I'm not a PvP master, even though I do dabble in it. And when we did like 25 or 30-some fixes recently that overall was well-received, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And I know that I mentioned that to her earlier.
Uh-huh.
And that's the bottom line. I mean, that's where I get the most enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, let me ask you another question here, and I'm trying to come up with one real quick. Did you have a question for me?
No, I cornered him.
She cornered me good.
She's pretty good at it.
I just hope my bosses don't yell and scream at me later for some of the answers I gave her.
Yeah. How long have you been playing Ultima Online?
I've been playing Ultima Online since February of 1998. I'm not one of those beta types or alpha types, but February of 98 is when a friend of mine referred me to the game, and that was my first real experience for that type of a massively multiplayer game, and I got addicted immediately, and it was just great.
Excellent. So when it comes to UOKR, which I'm sure you probably had some work or hands-on on UOKR, which is UO Kingdom Reborn for anybody out there who doesn't know what UOKR, Ultima Online Kingdom Reborn. What is your favorite feature about Ultima Online Kingdom Reborn that is in the game?
Okay, that's a good question. Not to be biased, but generally my favorite features are sometimes the stuff I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cool features in KR that I didn't do that are amazing, you know, as far as like a lot of the UI elements, you know, the macro system and all that stuff. But what I worked on was like the overall new player experience. I led that. You know, the whole basics tutorial where, and UO, while it's wonderful that it's a sandbox and you can just do anything you're dropped in the world, we felt more direction, at least for newer players, was essential at this point. Because there's a lot of things in Ultima that can be very confusing and very frustrating, and especially when you're doing a new client, you need to kind of educate, you know, the player base how to use this thing.
Right.
And that's why we did the basics tutorial with Gwen, you know, how to walk, how to run, how to attack stuff, how to kill stuff, how to loot, you know, the whole Dark Knight challenge, which actually, you know, Draconi did a lot of that, which is really cool, I hear. And I did a lot of the new player experience with the quests, you know, where you get accelerated skill gain and that. We didn't want it to be like WoW or you know, other games like EQ or whatever, where it's like, kill 10 of this, get 10 of that. You know, I wanted to stick to the Ultima More way of doing it, where it's a skill-based type thing. But the quests give incentive because you get a slight bump, you know, with how often you raise skill, but you also get a reward that's comparable to what you should get at around apprentice level. So, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, I don't ever hear any developers ever say this, but, you know, sometimes I've heard developers say on forums after they've left the company that they've had regrets about something they introduced into the game that they maybe wish they hadn't introduced or that they wish they could have done differently. Have you, by any chance, ever had anything like that happen?
Boy, that's a good question.
Because I don't ever hear it from any developers out there, and sometimes I would like to hear it, you know.
My only regret would be not having enough time to do everything I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times where time is a big factor. There's times where other commitments are a big factor. You know, things like that. But overall, not really. Like when I did like the Paragon stuff, the treasure hunting stuff. I did spell weaving for ML, which was cool. You know, I enjoyed working on that. I did all the AI dungeon scripting for ML. You know, the peerless fights and all that sort of thing. Currently on the stuff that I can't talk about, I'm doing some crafting, a little bit of crafting stuff right now.
For SA?
For SA.
Uh-huh.
The PvP stuff. I enjoy it most when I work on things that I know that matter a lot for the players currently. One of the things that comes up a lot that we just seem to forgo doing, which personally aggravates me as a developer, is like factions and stuff like that, making PvP more meaningful. You know, I definitely want to do that. I want to see that. I know I'm not the only one that on the team that wants to do that, but sometimes other priorities get in the way, and that's equally as frustrating for us as it is for you guys. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do it, though. And
you mentioned crafting for Stygian Abyss.
That's right.
That you're working on. Let me ask you this. Do you see the introduction of crafting with SA for sure?
Yeah.
Do you see that possibly revitalizing crafting, or do you see it being sustained over a long period of time, or do you see it being real popular in the beginning and then kind of dying off like every other expansion?
Yes to both accounts. I don't see it dying off, I mean. I see it as hopefully revitalizing crafting. It's also should hopefully sustain itself. I mean, again, we can't talk a lot about it now, but what we have mentioned so far at the meetups, so this should be safe to say, is one of the things we want to do in a reasonable way is to allow the players to be able to control more what they put on an item, what intensity they put on an item, and so on. And obviously, this shouldn't be an easy thing to do, you know, maxing out an item with all 100% intensity, you know, all five properties, should probably be an incredibly hard thing to do. But it also should be relatively not too hard to make items that are useful, you know, even for veteran players. But then, of course, you know, then the balance becomes, well, we want to make sure that if we do that, that monster bashing is still worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure one of the things that we will be working on as well, which I can't promise, of course, is like an overall loot balance on the creatures and stuff like that.
When you say overall loot balance on creatures and
right.
stuff like that, are we talking about lowering the amount of loot that is dropped in gold and stuff like that? Because
lowering, raising, where needed. Like, as an example, there's some things that are just absolutely ridiculous, like swoops and other things like that, which need a cold, hard nerf, if not an obliteration, you know, whatever.
Excuse me, guys.
But there's other things. There's other things.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Go ahead, sorry.
Our DJ Chessie from UO Radio has asked if she wants to know if they're ever going to remove the necro skill from the Doom monsters. It's made the Doom unplayable for most of them.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be eliminated, the necro skill from the monsters, because I do think it makes them more interesting. However, I do think one of the core issues that I hear you guys complain about, and rightfully so, is Blood Oath. I think that's one of the main things, you know. When players are able to do a large sum of damage, which that's okay, maybe in some cases it's too much, and that's a different topic, but when the player can't react quickly, like with Blood Oath, where a monster can just really dish out an insane amount of damage and the player can't react, we probably need to address that.
Because Blood Oath was more balanced, in my opinion, for PvP rather than for PvE. So I guess to answer the question more succinctly, yeah, we should probably look into the Necro AI on the creatures to make it a little more reasonable. But I don't think a cold nerf is the answer, though, I mean, as far as getting rid of it, because I think it makes it interesting.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because I know you work with fishing.
That's right.
Stuff. You've been actually noted for fishing changes and stuff like that in the past. So I'm wondering, with UOKR and stuff like that, with ships, you know, being in UOKR and the sea, does ships work really good in UOKR, or is there some tweaking that needs to be done? Because I haven't personally tested, but I've heard that it's still kind of jagged.
Yeah, we still have, unfortunately, at the moment, you know, similar the tile movement that we've always had for ships. And while ships might look a little cooler, you know, depending on your personal opinion on that, I do know that it's a hot topic, you know, internally with the developers to, not only for KR, but for 2D as well, smoothing out the movement a little bit for ships, because right now it's literally like ka-chunk, 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 really kludgy and always has been. And while I can't promise that we'll be able to do that, I do know that smoothing out movement in general, you know, is something we want to do.
Right, because I was watching somebody ride one of these mounts, and it was like a big old dragon or something up earlier, and it looked like the avatar was humping the creature rather than...
Yeah, and that's also a hot topic, especially for KR, that we want to look into making the mount, you know, movement, you know, much more smooth, much more reasonable, and not as triple X. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you have any more questions that, you know, maybe you pulled from this interview or anything like that. But.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming out here and giving your support and interviewing us, because the bottom line is, and I know this might sound cliche, if it wasn't for you guys, UO wouldn't have thrived for 10 years.
Right.
It's just amazing how long UO has lasted compared to some games that crash within 2 or 3 months that are new.
Exactly, and, you know, like the Sheeran's Calls, you know, is one of the games that come and gone, and a bunch of other ones, and Ultima Online's still here to this day, and I still get a lot of people that say, you know, you still playing Ultima Online? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I am. Is Ultima Online still going? Yeah, you know?
Yeah, and I just want you all to know that, you know, there might be times where we design and develop things that you don't like, but by golly, we do listen, and we do eventually come around, and we go, yeah, I mean, I don't like this, you know, because we play regularly, and it's like, you know, we're here for you, so, and we enjoy it too, so.
But do we have any questions?
Who's the actual design team? I know that you and Tony are on it. Okay. Who else has actually worked this with you?
Well, we have quite a few people. We have Draconi, we have myself, we have Wilkie. We have a lot of people on the team, too, that don't have call names. You know, I could tell you their names, but you may not recognize them.
Like
so.
Jib or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of people. We have, you know, Charzane that's on the team still.
Yeah,
he does a lot of the world-building stuff. We have a bunch of world-builders, you know, working on Stygian as well as KR. And, and we are also hiring, I believe, too.
And do you know what positions those would be?
Off
the top of your head?
I do know that we are at least looking for one designer that can do scripting, coding, design work. I think that's still the case. If I'm wrong, please forgive me if my superiors are listening to this. We're always looking for people that love UO and that also have the technical abilities and the design abilities to want to grow UO. And people like Tim and Wilkie and I, that's how we got on the team. You know, I mean, we played for years and we also designed stuff, so...
So if they want to apply, they should go to jobs.ea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome and everything. If there was one thing you could introduce into your Ultima Online, what would it be, if anything?
Hopefully what I'm currently working on, you know, for crafters, because frankly you guys need a bone and I'm going to do my best, you know, we're going to do our best to see that you get it. Again, no promises, but so far so good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Patrick,
and
it was great having you over here for us, and maybe we can have another interview with you again in the future.
I sure hope so.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you for your time.
You bet.
Thank you.
Cool.